If you are saved, how is heaven benefiting from your salvation?
Dr. Tony Evans says the Lord has packed each of us with potential, but it's up to us to unpack it.
How is the kingdom of God benefiting from your redemption? Or are you just chilling until you arrive in glory?
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. The things we do for God don't save us or make Him love us more, but Dr. Evans says that doing good is a vital part of a healthy Christian's life. Let's join him as he explains.
In the last verse of 1 Corinthians 15, we read these words. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil or labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want to talk about a mandate, a method, and the motivation for your work in the Lord. Now, let's be crystal clear. You are not saved by works. The Bible makes it clear, by grace have you been saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not according to works, so that no one can boast. Nobody gets to heaven because they have worked their way there. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. You cannot earn a place with God. But while we are not saved by work, we are saved for work. Because what the author of Ephesians says after declaring we're not saved by works in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, he goes on in verse 10 and says, but we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he hath created beforehand that we should walk in them. So you are not saved, converted, regenerated, redeemed, justified, or propitiated because of your work. That comes because of his work. But if you are saved, because he says in verse 58, my beloved brethren. He's talking to those men and women who have come to faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, who have been saved and redeemed. And what Paul wants to know, or what Paul wants to encourage, is your work in the Lord. He wants to talk about, if you are saved, how is heaven benefiting from your salvation? He wants to know, if you are redeemed, how is the kingdom of God benefiting from your redemption? Or are you just chilling until you arrive in glory? Now, he first of all starts off with a mandate. I call it a mandate because it is an expectation that he repeats twice in verse 58. He says in verse 58, I want you to abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil in the Lord is not in vain. It is expected that if a person has trusted Christ, they are serving the Christ that they've trusted. He calls it work in the Lord, or work for the Lord. To summarize the concept of your service to God, if in fact you are a Christian, it brings in the concept of advancing God's kingdom for God's glory so that it benefits others. You know you're working for the Lord. Here's when you know you're working for the Lord. You're working for the Lord when what you do has his name attached to it. It's for his glory. It advances his cause. It's for his kingdom. And other folks are helped by it. It benefits others. His name is attached to it. It advances his cause, and others benefit for it. Now you know you are working for the Lord. Now, what do you feel? How do you feel about folk who don't want to work? How do you feel about freeloaders? How do you feel about people who are always asking you for something, but who never want to give up anything? You probably have some issues with folk. The Bible has issues with folk who in everyday life don't want to work. The Bible says if a man doesn't work, he ought not eat. If he can work, has the opportunity to work, and won't work, but telling you how hungry he is. The Bible says, don't feed him. Because he's not exercising responsibility in the physical realm. Well, that's also true in the spiritual realm. God has a lot of freeloader kids. They want to go to heaven for free. And you do get to go to heaven for free. Because there is no price tag associated with salvation, because Jesus has paid it all. But it's expected by God, if you get a free ticket to heaven, that you ought to be grateful enough to do something for him on earth. That if he's given you eternal life, and we'll talk about that in a moment, the least you could do is work for the Lord. Get his name attached to it. Advance his cause in history, and others ought to benefit from it. He calls it the work of the Lord. We regularly want God to work for us. But he says, my beloved brethren, specifically referring to Christians, he says, you have a work to do, energy to expend for the Lord. Like our servicemen and women who give up their time and talents and energy, and they take risk for the protection of the freedom of the United States of America. You are service, I am service, we are service agents for the advancement of the cause of God in history. In fact, this is so strategic that you and I have to understand that what God does in the nation is directly tied to what he's free to do through the church. And if God's people aren't servicemen and women, if God's people are only saying, bless me, bless me, bless me, but expect nothing from me, then God's people have become spiritual leeches, spiritual pimps. You know what a pimp is. A pimp is somebody who wants all the benefit but doesn't do any of the work. Unfortunately, what God has are spiritual pimps. People who want the benefits without the responsibility. How many members of church folk do you know who come to church for one because they're looking for their blessing? They want to know what's the next good thing God is going to do for me. And trust me, nothing wrong with that. God wants to do good for you. But he also wants to know you're interested in doing good for him. Not as a way of getting to heaven. That's free. That's apart from work. But as a way of expressing your appreciation and gratitude to the one who has provided you salvation for free. Paul says your mindset, if you've been saved, is your service. How am I serving the Lord to advance his kingdom that benefits others with his name attached to it? That's the mandate. That is the expectation of God for all of his people. God is looking for folks who want to go to work.
So once we have the desire to serve, what do we do with it? Dr. Evans will come back to talk about that in just a moment when he continues this message from his new compilation, Treasures in the Darkness. Right now, he has a few words to share with us. Dr. Evans?
The bread and butter of the Urban Alternative is our radio outreach. Many people don't realize, however, that we have to buy the time and it costs us to service you through these radio stations. So if you're blessed over the radio by this ministry, would you keep us on the air through your generous financial support?
The Alternative is a 100% listener-supported program, so it takes all of us working together to keep Tony's teaching on this station. That's why every gift matters, large or small. So as our way of saying thanks for any contribution you can make, we'd like to send you all 5 CDs in Tony's brand new series, Treasures in the Darkness, which explores principles that'll help you navigate through life's toughest challenges. We'll also include his popular book, 30 Days to Overcoming Emotional Strongholds. But today's the last day this special double offer will be available, so don't miss out. Drop by TonyEvans.org today to make the arrangements, or call us at 1-800-800-3222, where members of our resource team are on hand day and night to help you. Dr. Evans will be right back after this.
Over 40 authors, over 1,000 years, over 2.5 billion volumes sold. The Bible. It's more than a book. It's the living Word of God. The truth found inside it possesses great power. And now you can unearth them in a fresh new way. The Tony Evans Training Center delivers world-class instruction to the palm of your hand through self-paced courses on your computer or phone. Explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere at TonyEvansTraining.org. That's TonyEvansTraining.org.
Having given the mandate, he gives the method. He gives three things in verse 58. Be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding. First of all, in your service to God, in your labor, he says, be steadfast. The word steadfast means to be seated and settled. To be seated and settled. Right now, you are steadfast because you are seated and you are settled. You're in your place. You're in the spot. Some of you, I always know where to locate you because you never move. You have laid claim to that seat. I have seen some of you get a little attitude. If somebody else has the audacity to sit in the seat where you have situated yourself for all these days, months, and even years. I know where you are, which means I know if you're not here, because I have scouted where you sit. To be steadfast is to situate yourself. To put it another way, it's stop being all over the place. Have a fixed destination. When I was growing up, my father would sometimes take us on Sunday drives. He would take us on after church and after dinner. He would take us on a Sunday drive. The problem was often we were going nowhere. It was a drive into nothingness. It was driving for driving's sake. Now, after a few minutes, the trees look the same. The grass looks the same. The road looks the same. The highway looks the same. It becomes empty movement because there is no destination attached to it. We're not going anywhere. When he says be steadfast, he is saying in your service to the Lord, let's settle this issue. He says, my beloved brethren, you have a mandate to serve God. So let's get this settled and let's stop going all over the place. He says, let's settle this issue. You are a servant of the Most High, and your service to God must be a settled issue. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. That is to whom you belong. And so the Bible says at the end of 1 Corinthians 10, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. He is saying, let's make that a steadfast issue. That I serve Christ. I serve him on the job. I serve him at my home. I serve him with my friends. That is my mindset. I'm steadfast. It's non-negotiable. He said, let's settle this. Be steadfast. He intensifies the concept of being steadfast by saying be immovable. Immovable means not tossed to and fro, not vacillating in uncertainty. So it's like being steadfast but it means being fixed or locked down to, being tethered to, not negotiating. I love what Joshua said. He said, as for me and my house, Joshua 24:15, we will serve the Lord. The context in which he says that is all the other people were looking at all the other idols they could serve. Joshua comes out and says, I can't dictate to your house, but let me tell you about my house. As for me and my house, it's not up for discussion. It's not up for debate. We live in a world today when God's view gets to change. Everybody else's view gets to stay the same. He says, be steadfast. He's talking about the mandate of your service, your labor. He says, be immovable. Let's not negotiate this thing. That you represent the Lord Christ, and it is him who you serve. And that's not negotiable. That you are a Christian. That's who you are. You belong to Jesus Christ. That's your identity. Nobody else is apologizing for what they do. Every manner of lifestyle, every manner of language, every manner of action is being taken, and everybody else wants you to accept it. Well, he says, you'll be immovable. Let's not make your service to the Lord negotiable. Now, it should be appropriate, but it should be not be negotiable. And then he says, abounding. He says, always abounding. To abound means to exceed the requirement. God is looking for some folk who will exceed expectations. Who are not satisfied to be average. You're not happy with just being okay. You're not satisfied with just trying to make it. You're exceeding expectations. You're going beyond what was required. Always abounding, exceeding expectation, zealous for God. All of us know people, and perhaps many of us sometimes have been that person who's just trying to get by, just trying to get by. One of the big issues today in our country is the issue of entitlement. Now, I know there are different perspectives, and probably most people's hearts are right, but the concern is that we have entitled ourselves into a financial disaster because we made promises we can't keep on the state level, on the federal level. And one of the challenges of this is once you vote yourself a benefit, you're not interested in unvoting it. Entitlement means you're supposed to do this for me. This is my right. Unfortunately, many Christians have a spirit of entitlement. God, you're supposed to do this for me. You're supposed to do this for me. You're supposed to not let this happen to me. I am entitled. If you and I fully understood what he already has done for us, you'd understand that it would take eternity to repay. And that's why I want to close today with the motivation. The mandate is, what is your labor for the Lord? What can you point to consistently, abounding? What can you show and say, I serve the Lord Christ and it is visible and evident. And I do it fixed. I do it steadfast. And I exceed the requirements. Well, to see why he's telling you to do this, we won't and can't do it now, but you need to read chapter 15. You see, chapter 15 of the book of 1 Corinthians is the leading chapter in the Bible on the resurrection. Okay? No other chapter competes with chapter 15 on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more, because remember, he exceeded requirements, than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Verse 14. If Christ be not raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith is also vain. Verse 30. Why are we also in danger every hour? I affirm, brethren, by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If from human motives I fought with wild beasts at Ephesus, what does it profit me if the dead are not raised? Let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. Paul's point is, if Christ be not raised, I need to be doing something else. He says, but the grace of God shown to me. He never lost sight of the grace of God. He said, well, every time I peek into the grace of God shown to me, I want to labor more. In other words, the reason more Christians don't serve is they've lost sight of grace. They've lost sight of all that God has already done for them. Some of you here today can testify. If it were not for the grace of God, you wouldn't be here today. You've already experienced it. If it were not for the grace of God, you wouldn't be in the situation you're in today. He said, but if Christ be not raised, everything is a waste of time in vain. But he says in verse 58, no, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You're not wasting your time. Jesus says in Revelation 22:12, I come and I bring my reward with me. Why? Because he's risen from the dead to reward you for the work you have done. It's not a waste of time to advance God's kingdom with God's name for the benefit of others as a steadfast way of life. Let me show you just one specific here, he says. He closes out this chapter, and this is the best thing I can tell you. Everything else is secondary to this one. He says, verse 54, when this perishable will put on the imperishable, this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let me tell you the number one reason why serving the Lord should be no problem at all. He has spent all chapter talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the chapter, he says, because Christ rose from the dead, you get to rise from the dead. Okay, let me say it this way. I know life may be rough right now, financially or socially or health-wise, it could be any number. I know life may be rough, but here's what you need to know. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the only hell you get to experience is the hell you're going through now. Yeah, okay. This is as bad as it's ever going to get. It's not going to get any worse than this. I mean, it may be bad, but it's the only hell. Now, in case you're here and you're not a Christian, let me explain something to you. However good it's going for you right now, this is the only heaven you ever going to get. The main reason that you should be motivated to serve the Lord is because, watch this now, I love this, you don't get to die. He calls it the sting of death. Okay, death has a sting to it. But he says the reason that death has a sting to it is that death has sin attached to it. He says the sting of death is sin. So the only reason you're going to die is because sin has come into the world and come into your life. And the wages of sin is death. So death has a sting. The sting is sin. And the law is the thing that lets you know about the sin that's caused the death. The law is God's standard. And the law, thou shalt not, lets you know when you shalt. because it lets you know when you violated God's commandment, either on action or attitude. So God gives the law that reveals the sin which brings about the death. But he says, thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ, that the sting of death has been removed. A little boy one day was in a car with his father. A bee came buzzing around the car. He grabbed the bee and went, ah, and opened up his hand. The bee popped out of his hand and went, and the boy said, Daddy, 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 the bee, the bee, the bee. He says, boy, don't worry about that bee. He said, but the bee is flying all around. It's going to get me. It's going to get me. He said, boy, don't worry about that bee. He said, what you mean don't worry about that bee? He said, because that bee got one stinger. And that stinger is in my hand. Because when I grabbed him, he stung me. So all that bee is doing is making a whole lot of noise. Because it can't mess with you now. I got that stinger in my hand. Death has a sting. But on the cross, Jesus Christ grabbed the bee and he took the stinger. Now death may be buzzing around. It may be making a lot of noise. But if you know Jesus Christ, it can't touch you now. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Death has a sting. Jesus Christ took the stinger by canceling the sin because he kept the law. So guess what? The reason you ought to serve the Lord is you don't get to die.
If you feel like you're still carrying around that stinger Dr. Evans was talking about, Jesus is ready to pull it out for you today. Here's a word from Tony about how that works.
If what you just heard has impacted your heart, if what you just heard has quicken something within you to want to enter into a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then I want to invite you to respond right now to the invitation to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So right now, why don't you go to God and let him know that you now receive Jesus Christ into your life for the forgiveness of your sins, for the gift of eternal life, because you believe he died on the cross for you. If you will do that right now, God is ready and waiting to receive you and to give you the greatest gift that anyone could ever be given.
Dr. Evans would love to tell you more about that gift. Just visit TonyEvans.org today, click on the menu, and follow the link that says Jesus. He has a helpful video there that will answer your questions, along with some free downloadable resources to get your new life started off right. Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a word about what's coming up next week on the broadcast. But first, let me just throw in a quick reminder about our current special offer that's running out today. It includes all 5 CDs in the teaching series Tony concluded a moment ago, Treasures in the Darkness, along with his short but powerful book, 30 Days to Overcoming Emotional Strongholds. Both are yours with our thanks when you make any donation to help keep this program coming your way. Drop by TonyEvans.org to get all the details and to make the arrangements before the day's out. That's TonyEvans.org, or reach out to our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. Team members are standing by 24/7 to help you. Again, dial 1-800-800-3222. Well, next week, Dr. Evans has a new series of messages to share with us, and he's here to close out our time together today with a few words about what's coming up. Dr. Evans?
Well, folks, we're excited about the upcoming series, The Six Lies of Satan. He slipped Eve a Mickey in the garden. He gave 6 specific lies that he's still using today to trip us up. So we're going to discover from Genesis 3 how he's trying to trip us up right now today using the same strategy. Make sure you tune in. Make sure you listen. Make sure you get the resources so you can review them for your own spiritual growth and, most of all, for your own spiritual victory.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.